Our sermon today is based on a reading from Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 27 through 35. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will sow the house of Israel and the house of Judah with the seed of humans and the seed of animals. And just as I have watched over them to pluck up and break down, to overthrow, destroy, and bring evil, so I will watch over them to build and to plant, says the Lord. In those days they shall no longer say, the parents have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge. But all shall die for their own sins. The teeth of everyone who eats sour grapes shall be set on edge. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. Thus says the Lord, who gives the sun for light by day and the fixed order of the moon and the stars for light by night, who stirs up the sea so that its waves roar. The Lord of hosts is his name. Thank you, God, for giving us words of hope and promise. Well, it will be Advent before we know it, so I need to finish up our sermon series about the four taste sensations, sweet, salty, sour, and bitter. It is, as I've said, a precursor to our Eating Our Way Through the Bible sermon series that we'll munch on in 2025. Can you believe the new year is almost here? Well, let us for now concentrate on today. I'm sure when you saw the bulletin cover and read today's sermon title, you remembered the fable by Aesop about the fox and the grapes. A fox one day spied a beautiful bunch of ripe grapes hanging from a vine trailing along the branches of a tree. The grapes seemed ready to burst with juice, and the fox's mouth watered as he gazed longingly at them. The bunch hung from a high branch, and the fox had to jump for it. The first time he jumped, he missed by a long way. So he walked off a short distance and took a running leap at it, only to fall short once more. Again and again he tried, but in vain. Finally, the fox sat down and looked at the grapes in disgust. What a fool I am, he said. Here I am, wearing myself out to get a bunch of sour grapes that are not worth the effort. This is probably not the origin of the saying alluded to in today's scripture, the parents have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge. But this adage is probably as old as the story of the fox and the grapes. In this context, it means that children sometimes pay the price for the errors and mistakes of their parents, the innocent suffering for things they had no control over, things that had happened in the past. Perhaps the children growing up in exile in Babylon grumbled those words, the parents have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge, as they struggled to cope and make sense of what had happened to their once proud nation. The people's idea of sin back then was collected. If one person sinned, it affected the whole nation, even those who clearly had no part in the sinning. On down through the generations, the children had to pay the consequences for what their parents had done. But the children could rightfully have protested, we weren't the ones who made God mad. We weren't the ones who ran after idols and turned our backs on God. But all the same, we have to suffer and pay the penalty for something we didn't do. It's like, did it ever happen when you were in school and that one kid in your class messed up and so your teacher punished everyone? No recess for any of you today. Or you all had to stay after school, or all of you had to write, I will not misbehave in class 100 times. Boy, weren't you ready to pounce on that kid for making you suffer? But actually, what God is saying here is that that's all over for the people of Israel. It's no longer going to be the case that the children would have to deal with the repercussions of their parents' missteps. In the future, God says, everyone will be responsible for his or her own sins. No more of this reassignment. No more of making children suffer punishment for what their parents did. everyone will have to pay for their own price for their own sins. And remember, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Instead of children's teeth being set on edge for what their parents have done, the consequences are no longer going to be passed on down through the family. Okay, that's good enough for us, but it's not good enough for God. In the future, God promised everyone's iniquity would be forgiven and forgotten. Israel had learned its lesson about forsaking God. It took harsh exile to get that point across to them. They needed that time of exile to evaluate themselves, review what they had done, and ready their hearts for humble repentance. Were they afraid God had given up on them forever? Were they afraid they had finally pushed God too far and there was no going back, no chance of coming under God's comfort and care once again, even though they were now ready and willing to place themselves back into God's safekeeping? They wanted to restore the good relationship they had had with God previously. They wanted to see and receive God's blessings once again. They wanted a second chance. Well, they were in luck because, you know what? God is a God of second chances. God doesn't want to leave anyone out in the cold, away from the light of love in God's heart. God knew the people of Israel were far from perfect, but God was willing to work with them. God could tell they were truly repentant and they were ready to do whatever it took to deserve God's love again. God hadn't wanted to exile them in the first place, but Israel needed to find out how starkly different life was without God. It certainly got their attention, and now God was going to make a new covenant with them, a covenant of salt. As we've learned in the past few weeks, a covenant of salt was an everlasting covenant, a permanent pact, and a perpetual promise. This time, the people would comply with God's laws and commandments. This time, the people would be well aware of what they risked by dissolving their covenant with God. God was going to sprinkle them anew and take away the sour grapes they formerly feasted on: doubt, disrespect, uncertainty, insecurity, rebellion. God was preparing something new and wonderful for them. No more sour grapes, only goodness and gratitude from now on. It was Jeremiah's dream, and it was a pleasant one that made the prophet smile as he woke up. This is our dream, restoration with God and with one another. It is our dream to find ourselves under the sheltering tent of God's love, savoring the salt covenant God has made with us. We don't want to go back to that time when we walked in darkness, ignorant of God and all that God wants to do with us and for us. Instead of sour grapes, we want to drink the good, free-flowing wine of security and serenity. We want to savor the taste of the wine of forgiveness and restoration. We want to enjoy the jaunty juice that soothes our hearts and brightens our lives. It was God's good, gracious plan to restore Israel and rebuild a right relationship with them. And it is God's good, gracious plan to restore us to a right relationship with God. It is part of God's good, gracious plan to take away the sour grapes we've been eating and give us instead a cup full of the wine of redemption and restoration and rebuilding. And who else has provided that cup for us but Jesus Christ, God's own Messiah? Who else has poured out his own blood to cover our sins and heal us and make us whole and worthy of a place in God's kingdom? Who else presents to us a cup full of renewal and revival and salvation? Jesus has prepared a cup full of all the things we need to be God's loving, loyal children: love, comfort, patience, serenity, wisdom, vision, determination, power, faith, peace. Jesus has prepared a cup that is full to the brim and overflowing with goodness and righteousness. And he says to us all, drink it up. Yes. It isn't a dream, it's for real. Thank you, God. No more sour grapes for us. Let us pray. Yes, God, previously we were in exile, far away from you. Previously we did things that grieved your heart. Previously we were chomping down on sour grapes, cursing every bite. And then you did something wonderful for us. You sent us Jesus Christ to turn our sourness into sweetness, our despair into hope, our sorrow into joy. You restored and rescued and resuscitated our hearts. So we thank you for the cup of fellowship and love from which we drink. We bless you and our Savior for blessing us so abundantly. Amen.
Thank you.